we go. And then I was off to the races. Back to you, WS2. I forgot your first name.
It's Chris, K2SDP. Chris, thank you. I appreciate that. I always wondered what your background was or where you got the knowledge from. I worked many years ago for a division of Perkin-Elmer that built the most of the Hubble telescope. And I was working for them when they were building it, way back when. But so I've always had a space interest. But all right, thank you.
Okay, Chris. Okay, you get your license. Very good. Congratulations on that. That's great. And then, well, that was Connecticut. Were you living in Connecticut? I mean, that thing was built in Connecticut, the Malens and everything. Back to you.
Yeah, they were built. Perkin-Elmer was based out of Connecticut, but I worked for a division here, one of the subsidiaries that was in. I can't think of the name of the town, over on Duffy Avenue over there in Westbury area. I didn't work on that particular product. I was a software engineer, so I had nothing really to do with it, but it was interesting to hear all the engineers talking about it.
Very good, very good. I remember that. And of course, they're not there, and you know, that whole deal has come to an end. I often wondered if those mirrors, you know, there's mirrors that NASA is going to use for something called the WFIRST telescope, and they got it from the NRO, National Reconnaissance Office. They built spy satellites. You know, you have this Hubble Space Telescope, and that's looking at, you know, at the universe. You take the same mirror, and the same size mirrors, and you point it down. And that's, you know, make a top secret, and that's it. Well, they had a couple left over, and they turned one of them over to NASA, and they're going to use it for the WFIRST telescope, which is now going to be called the Roman telescope. So I wonder if you know anything about that, Chris. You know, did they build other big mirrors besides the Hubble, or maybe a different contractor did that?
I don't think, I mean, that was a long time ago. I don't think they had anything to do with the mirrors. I think they were building the rest of the hardware on the thing. I don't remember exactly, though. That was a long time ago. I'm really interested to see that new telescope, the big one that they built already that's waiting to go up. That's going to be really something.
Yeah, that's... next, well, it's going to be March now, it's September of next year, the James Webb Space Telescope. I want to see this contraption, unfurl. It's going to take like a month to do that, you know, all these different connections that have to be cut with pyrotechnics in sequence, and everything has to open up. You know, because it all has to fit inside the nose cone of a rocket, and they're going to launch it from French Guiana. That's going to be launched on the Ariane 5 rocket. But yeah, I agree. I can't wait until I see that thing go up. That should have been in orbit, Chris. And probably heard this already. 2017. So we're way behind schedule with that.
Well, with any luck, they won't need to put a set of eyeglasses on this thing like they did Hubble.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was a great fix, you know, what they did. I mean, it turned out to be the most successful scientific instrument ever put into space. But it didn't look good in the beginning. Okay. I'll look at the clock here. Turn it back to Roy. But let me see if anybody else had a comment before I do that. I guess that's okay. This is WS-Twin for the SpaceNet report. Part of the TechNet. I'm going to turn it over to Roy. AC2GS, WS-Twin. And I'll turn it over to you. And tomorrow night, of course, the ClubNet, 8:30, these repeaters. Back to you, Ron.
Yes, this is AC2GS, and thank you very much, Paul, for your space report. Wesley, are you still out there? One more chance. Wesley, are you still out there? I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the phosphine. Oh, well, I guess he had to step away. I did put a link to a rather interesting YouTube of a scientist who isn't incredibly optimistic about the phosphine meaning life. Take a look at it if you have time and make your own decisions. But as always, want to thank everyone who participated tonight. I want to thank certainly Paul for the SpaceNet report, Andy for Andy's Corners, all the people who participated tonight, the people who checked in via IRLP, people who checked in via EchoLink. We had people in Washington, in California, in Australia, and the people who were listening in to the stream. So I want to thank everyone who came and wish them a good week, a healthy week, a safe week. As always, remind people, if you have any questions or topics or puzzles, or you would like Paul to take a look at something space-related, the email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. If you want to see the links that I put up, and I put up, I think, three links tonight, that's at roy.ac2gs.com. And as always, Mike KC2NJI has amateurradio.tv, archives of the technical net that go all the way back to September of 2006. As I always like to end this show, one of the wisest things that a very wise man often ended his technical net, Dick K2RIW, with was the words, be kind to each other. And I think it is always good advice, but especially these days, it's excellent advice. So please, be kind to each other, be well, be safe, and I'll hopefully speak to you all again next Sunday night. This is AC2GS, and I'll be clear.
BXL, if you still have a minute or two.
Yeah, sure, Frank.
Yeah, okay. As you know, it's a little tough to get a word in edgewise on EchoLink. The brakes, you know, people keep keying the repeater in the brakes, so it's hard to get in. And I'm just wondering if you had a minute or two of if you were able to give a quick rundown on the COVID situation in Brooklyn. I understand things are spinning a little, not necessarily out of control, but upward again. Go ahead.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are a bunch of hot spots, most of it Brooklyn and Queens area. One of the hottest spots, unfortunately, is where I'm located, Gravesend, but there are other local areas. There's always going to be fluctuation. Unfortunately, I think it has something to do, to a degree, with Orthodox Jewish people. These are the high holidays. They really don't want to separate. And so I think that they are making an opportunity for the virus to spread a lot more than it really should be. So unfortunately, my understanding is that the mayor is going to tighten up the screws for a bunch of different zip codes in Brooklyn and Queens, and they're gonna, you know, start disabling things that they had set up, you know, indoors dining and other such things. So it's concerning. Whether or not it blooms into something awful, only time will tell. But it's not a good sign. But hopefully, it's just a random fluctuation, probably based around the Jewish high holidays.
Yeah, well, my impression is that Cuomo tried to get the Orthodox community to cooperate. They wouldn't, and they went to court, and I think Cuomo was told he had to leave them alone because it was religious freedom or some such. I kind of can see both sides of that. Anyway, yeah, but I'm in Northeast Philadelphia and have some family things. I have to try to want to try to go to Brighton Beach Tuesday and Wednesday, and I was wondering if that was a really good idea. Either before I go to bed or tomorrow, I'll look up the exact zip codes and see how close I am would be to the trouble spot. The area where I have an apartment is in 11235 Brighton Beach near Coney Island. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that although the hottest of the hot spots is right here at Gravesend, I think Brighton is also in the kind of flashing yellow zone, so it's going to be a problem. I think it's really affecting a lot of say, southern Brooklyn.
All right, that's thrilling. I'll take a look online and then make a decision tomorrow on whether I want to go. Anyway, my sister really wants me to come up to take care of some things with her and my mom, and I don't really want to do it if it's, you know, if Brooklyn is not a real safe place to go. Anyway, Roy, thanks as usual for a great night. Appreciate it, and thanks for your input. 73WB2BXO.
You're welcome, Frank. Thanks for joining us here each week, and have a safe week. And with that, AC2GS once again is clear.
I don't think I've spoken to you since then. WB2.
Say again, Frank. I think I talked over you.
Okay, I just hope you had a good Yom Kippur and easy fast last week. I know you said you were going to be off for the holiday.
Yeah, thankfully, fasting isn't too problematic for me, although it kind of put a whole dull on my birthday. About once every 10 years, my birthday comes up synchronized with Yom Kippur. It's not as much fun.
Well, it's kind of difficult to have a fun birthday party this year anyway, so, you think of it that way also. 73 Roy, WB2BXO.
Okie doke, 73 Frank. And once again, this is AC2GS clear.
Happy birthday, Roy.
Thank you.
And happy belated birthday for the third time. WB2BXO will be listening.
Thank you as well, Frank. And once again, this is AC2GS attempting to go clear.
InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Time is 12:04 a.m. 73. And good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73. And good night from the W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5:00 a.m.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
And to RBP Mobile. KD2KNH and to RBP. And to RBP, listening.
KD2 UPL Mobile.